Evening, everyone. Thank you so much for inviting me here tonight on this Resurrection Sunday. And it's an absolute privilege that I can come and share of the night that I find out that the Lord Jesus Christ was alive. I'm born again 7 years, not 7 years, it'll be 7 years in June. I've been married for nearly 17 years and I have four wee daughters. Connie's 8, Marnie is 10, Bobby's 13 and Isla's 14. Myself and my husband, we were brought up in a lovely homes, mum's, dad, brothers, sisters, but we weren't brought up in the ways of the Lord. We would have went maybe to Sunday school every now and again. My mum has 11 brothers and sisters, and my dad has about, I think, maybe 13 brothers and sisters. So I'm from a really, really big family. And throughout that family, nannies, grandas, there was no born-again Christians in our family. So I wouldn't have been brought up knowing the Word of God. Anything that I learned about the Lord would have been in school. And as I said, Sunday school every now and again, where I went with a friend from my primary school. I learned Bible stories, baby Jesus in a manger, Noah in the ark, Moses. But the Lord Jesus Christ that saved me, there's a verse in Exodus 15, chapter 15, verse 3. And it says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ that I met, that came crashing into my life and totally saved me. Saved me from my sin. Saved me from myself. Saved me from the wrath of God. And saved me from Satan. Growing up in life and in my adult life, I would have took advice from friends. I would have been very much a fan of alternative therapies. Holistic therapies. So when I was pregnant, I was advised to maybe try baby yoga, pregnancy yoga, yoga for me. I would have took advice and I would have just went and done it. So when I was pregnant, I done pregnancy yoga because I was told it would help in the pregnancy. Whenever the baby was born, a friend said you should try baby yoga, it's really good. And then yoga for myself. I had one of my babies was breech, so I was advised to get reflexology done because it helped turn the baby. So I would have done that. I would have practiced mindfulness because it was aimed at kind of clearing your mind and clearing your head. So I would have practiced all that. I would have just took advice from friends, from anyone. Yoga. For instance, yoga means to yoke. When they say namaste in a yoga class, it means the divine in me bows to the divine in you. Yoga is not of God. Reflexology, the roots of reflexology is Hinduism, Buddhism. The roots of mindfulness, again, Hinduism, Buddhism. Mindfulness tells you to empty your mind, clear your mind. It totally goes against the word of God. But these would have been the things that I would have done. So when I started getting pains in my hands and feet, and I was talking to my friend, my best friend at the time, and I'd phoned the doctor and I'd said to the doctor about it, that I kept getting these funny pains in my hands and feet, and the doctor wanted me to come in and get some bloods done. But in the meantime, I was talking to my friend on the phone, and she was asking me how I was, and I said, I keep getting these pains in my hands and feet. I'm going to the doctors to get my bloods checked. And she said, you don't need to get your blood checked. She says, I know a lady that does Reiki healing, and you just need all your hormones balanced out. You've had all your babies really close together. All you need is just everything balanced out. So I took her advice and I went and I seen a Reiki healer. So I went to this lady in Newton Ards. She had a lovely practice, a lovely therapy room built in above her garage. And I went to this lady and at the time, my friend Lee, she would have been big into kind of the open of the occult. She would have loved fortune tellers and tarot cards and things like that. I knew that that wasn't good. So I said to this lady, listen, you know, I'm not into all the hocus pocus that my friend's into. I'm here about my hands and faith. I just want you to know that. And she said, well, you know, I can see that you're quite nervous. And normally I would pray into myself before I would do anything to, you know, to the person before I lay hands on them. But I can see you're nervous, so I'll pray out loud. And that'll put you, you know, it'll put your mind at ease. So she prayed out loud and she prayed, Dear God. And I can't even remember what the prayer was, but the Dear God, that was enough for me. I didn't know that you needed to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know who her God was. I don't know who she prayed to, but I didn't have any knowledge at all. So I was fine with that prayer. And I give her permission to lay hands on me. And so she done Reiki healing on me and the pains in my hands and feet left. And she said to me, you know, I could teach you to do this to other people. And I said to her, listen, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mama. I'm very happy being a stay-at-home mama. I have no aspirations to go out and start up my own business. I'll leave that to my husband. And she says, well, like, you can do this. You can do Reiki on your husband. If your husband has a stressful job or, you know, is anxious, or if your children, you know, if they're worried or, you know, anxious at all, this will help them. And I said, right, okay. So I took her advice and she taught me how to do Reiki. And after she had taught me this, she said, you know, you need to practice this in yourself now for 2 weeks before you can practice on others. And I was like, right, okay. So I went home and it involved like laying your hands, say in your shoulders or your knees in different places. And so I would have done this every day. And after about 5 days, as crazy as it sounds, my hands felt like they wanted to move about by themselves, and it absolutely scared the life out of me. And so I phoned the lady and I said, listen, my hands feel like they want to move about here. Like, there's, it doesn't feel right. There's something wrong. She says, no, that's fine. You know, that's normal. And I said, but it doesn't feel right. And she says, well, you know, you have free will. You can stop at any time. So I stopped. And a while later, Robert and I was going to Edinburgh to visit his aunt, Ruby, who hadn't been very well. And there was like a family get together. So we went over and we were staying in a hotel in Edinburgh. And all his family was there. And I was sitting having a conversation with his sister. And I don't even know how the conversation got round to talking about God. But she was from a mixed marriage. And she says, you know, I've tried reading the Bible. I've tried reading the Bible and I got as far as Cain and Abel. And she has 4 sons. She says, I got as far as Cain and Abel and the murder. And so I just closed it. That's not for me. She said, I quite like the idea of Buddhism. Buddhism is nice. You know, it's a nice kind of philosophy. And it's, you know, be nice to people and people be nice to you. And I said to her, well, like, I wouldn't even have a Buddha in my house, because it says in the Ten Commandments that you're not allowed to worship any other god. And the only reason I knew that was because when I was a child, me and my mum watched Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. That was the only reason I knew that. But little did I know that I had broke every single law that there was. So that night we went to bed and Robert went to sleep. And I woke him up in the middle of the night, and I said to him, Robert, there's bad in here. There's something wrong. There's bad in here. We need to get out of here. And I didn't know what was happening. And he looked at me, still half sleeping. He was like, what? And I said, there's bad in here. We need to get out of here. We need to get out. Leave the cases, leave clothes, just leave everything. We just need to get out. And it was in the middle of the night. So Robert, being the good husband that he is, he got up and got dressed, and we got into the lift in the hotel, and I just remember running out of that hotel, and I literally fell to my knees, and I couldn't speak. I did not know what was happening, but I was on my knees and I couldn't speak. And I remember just looking up at my husband saying, ho. I just couldn't speak at all. And he phoned his mum in the middle of the night. And his mum and his auntie came round in the car and took me to his aunt's house. And I remember lying in bed that night and I just felt like my skin was crawling the whole night long. And I kept praying the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again because that's what I was taught in school, in primary school. And I kept praying and praying. And the next day we were getting on the plane from Edinburgh to go home and I said to Robert, you need to pray for me. Something really, really bad has happened, but I don't know what. And he was like, right, okay. So all he would have known would have been the Lord's Prayer. There's no Christians in his family. He wasn't taught in the things of the Lord. So we went home and the next day Robert went to work and I was doing the school run and I had the two little ones in the back of my car and I was going to collect the two big girls. And I remember driving down the road and all these thoughts started coming into my mind. You need to leave your husband. He's no good for you. He's no good for you. You need to leave him. Well, that scared the life out of me because I knew there and then that those thoughts that I was having didn't belong to me. They were not my thoughts. Robert and I had been in P1 together, right through primary school, right through secondary school. You know, we were a happy marriage. We weren't arguing. We weren't fighting. There was nothing. So for me to be having these thoughts, it just scared the life out of me because I knew I was having them, but they weren't mine. And so it, like in my whole world, I knew one lady who prayed and it was a girl that I worked with years ago and I'd only met the woman maybe two or three times, Nuala. And Clayne used to tell me, oh, my mummy, she prays and she prays for this and she prays for that. So this was the only person that I knew in the whole world that prayed. And Clayne lived in Lisburn and I lifted the phone and I phoned Clayne's landline and I praised the Lord that Nuala answered. And I said, Nuala, this is Lisa here. I need to come and see you. I need you to pray for me. I've done something really, really wrong, but I don't know what I've done. Something bad really happened. And she says, well, I'm here minding the grandkids. And I said, well, I'm on my way with me and the four girls. So I drove down to Sprucefield. The girls' school at the time was in Moira, and I drove to Sprucefield to Clayne's house and literally fell into the arms of Nuala. And all the children went out the back and played, and I was sitting, and Nuala was praying for me. And as she prayed for me, I could feel like my shoulders relax. And every time she stopped praying, I could feel my shoulders all tense up. And like I just didn't know what was happening, but I knew something was happening. So Robert was phoned. And Robert came out of work. My mum was phoned. She came out of work. My dad was phoned. He came out of work. And my aunt, Aileen, who's Down syndrome, she'd lived with my mum for years. She was taken out of her centre and they all came up to my house. And I remember just standing in my sunroom and I was looking at my mum and my dad and my husband. And I remember just looking at them and thinking, all your love and all your money won't help me. Nothing can help me, but I don't know what would. You know, spiritually, we were standing as a family. We were blind. We were in the darkness. We were lost. We did not know the word of God. We did not know that the Bible said, those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, like, we were totally and utterly lost and in darkness. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what. My dad says, let's phone the doctor. And I said, yes, let's phone the doctor. She'll fix me. So the next day, again, no sleep. I couldn't sleep. The doctor came and she knew me because like having four babies and them down, you know, seeing the doctors over the years. She came out and she took one look at me and she said, I can't help her. She needs to be assessed. And I said, right, well, let's get assessed. They'll help me. So that day, my dad and Robert brought me to a place in Lygon Valley Hospital called the White House. And praise the Lord, the lady there that I spoke to was a Christian. And I told her everything that was happening. Like, what I'm saying tonight is just a small bit of the things that was happening in my life. I told her everything. And by law, all she can really say to me is, how's your faith? And she said to me, how's your faith? And I said, well, I believe in God. And I've been praying and I know that he's going to help me. I know he's going to help me. And she said, do you know what? You just need to rest. Go home and rest. So I went home and Robert came out of work for a fortnight. And so did my mum and dad. And they took over all the school runs and the swimming runs and everything else. And I rested. So after 2 weeks, I went home. And I was feeling a bit better. But I always had this really horrible feeling. I just couldn't shake this feeling. And so they all went back to work. And I resumed all the stay-at-home mummy duties, all the different school runs, the mother and toddler runs, the ballet runs, the swimming runs. And I was in the ballet waiting room while Bobby was in her class. And this lady that I'd been talking to for years was going on and on about this amazing holiday that she's just back from in Israel. And I said to her, why would you go to Israel? Like, is there not loads of wars and all going on over there? And she says to me, well, we're Christians. And I was like, oh, right. I said, can you tell me, what's your opinion on yoga and on Reiki? And she looked at me and she said, why, like, has something happened? And I said, yeah. What's your opinion on it? And she said, well, when you do things like that, you open yourself up to evil. She says they're totally demonic. And when you be involved in those practices, you're opening doors to evil. And I said, well, you know, I know that that's wrong now, and I know I'll never do that again. But how do you know? And she says, well, whenever you walk with God, you know. And I thought, I've never heard that before. I've never heard when you walk with God. And she said, at this time, I had lost so much weight. I couldn't even look in the mirror at myself. My eyes scared me whenever I looked at myself. And she says to me, has something happened? And I said, yes. And she says, maybe you might need a bit of deliverance. And I said, well, what's deliverance? She says, it's whenever people pray for you. And I was like, that's what I need. And she says, I'll see if I can get you a number. So about 4 weeks later, I'd seen her again in the waiting room, and she says to me, here, I got that number for you. Do you need it? Are you all right? And I says, well, I feel okay, but sure, I'll take it anyway. And that was on the Wednesday. And by the Saturday, I lifted the phone and I phoned this number. And the most godliest man answered, Jim McTurnahan. And it was the prayer ministry at Abbots Cross Congregational Church. And I told Jim McTurnahan everything that was happening to me. And he made an appointment for me to come over for prayer ministry. And so the next day I was in, that Monday, I was in a mother and toddler group. And there was a girl there, Michelle, who I would have seen all the time. We would have been chatting away. I'd never met her outside the mother and toddlers. And I said to her, here I'm going for deliverance on Wednesday. And she says, what's deliverance? And I said, I'm not really sure, but I need it. And she says, well, do you want me to come with you? And I said, well, no, I'll be all right. Like, I can go by myself. If I can go to a woman's garage, you know, up above her garage, I'm sure I can go to a church by myself. She says, I'll come with you, sure. And I said, right, okay. So that few days later, Michelle and I get into the car and we went over to Abbots Cross. And three of the most godliest people, Jim McTurnahan, Ann Davidson and Raymond, was there. And I sat and I told them everything that was happening and told them all about this horrible feeling that I had. And they just said to me, listen, see that feeling that you have? That's called sin. And I said, that's like, that wasn't really a word in my vocabulary. They said, that's called sin and nobody can take that away but the Lord Jesus Christ. And they told me the simple but powerful gospel message. They told me that the Lord Jesus Christ came here to live and he died for me. He was buried for me. And 3 days later, he rose up again for me. And they told me that I needed to repent from my sin and turn to the Lord. And the thing about repentance was Like, I had turned away from all that. I knew that I would never, ever do any of that again. But I didn't know repentance. You turn from and you turn to. And I didn't know who to turn to. Well, the minute that they told me that message, I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that very second, he came into my life. And he came in that very second in that wee tiny room as they prayed for me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came in and just literally got all that yuck and sin and everything that I had opened myself to unknowingly and threw it out at such a force. And I'm glad Michelle was there because I felt it all. Michelle seen it with her eyes. She's seen it. And they prayed for me. And the thing about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is at his name, it all had to go. It all had to go because his name is above any other name and his name carries authority. And they prayed for me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and it was literally threw out of me. Right there and then, I became a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And they prayed for me for a long time. And whenever it was finished, I said, What do I do now? And Raymond said to me, you go out, girl, and you get yourself a Bible and you get into the Word of God. So I went out the next day and I bought a Bible. And on the way home, we were driving and I said to Michelle, did I just get saved in there? She said, yes, you did. And I had never even heard of the term saved before. I was literally saved that very night. And we went home and my husband, he had never met Michelle. And we came into the house and he made us a cup of tea. And he was like, well, what happened? I said, Robert, Jesus is alive. And he was like, whoa. I said, I am telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He saved me the night. All that stuff's gone. And Michelle said I looked totally different. So all that evil and fear and everything that was in me that night left. Also what left, like whenever you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he cleans it out, things that you know of and maybe things that you don't know of. And I would have been brought up, you don't walk under a ladder or, you know, fingers crossed, things like that. And I remember out driving the next day and seeing a magpie and thinking, why am I not saying one for sorrow? And it's because that is not of God and that wasn't part of me. So when the Lord came in to totally clean me out, he totally cleaned me out. He took away everything that I knew of and what I didn't know of. I went the next day to the Faith Mission bookshop and I bought myself a Bible. And I went home and opened it and I haven't stopped reading. And I couldn't believe it because I was reading in Mark chapter 9, reading about the Lord Jesus casting out a demon from a little boy. And I remember reading this and thinking, here, Robert, where do you hear this? And I read it out and then I read in Hebrews how the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And I was like, well, that's true because what he done for me yesterday, he done all those years ago. And as I was reading the Bible and reading the Word of God, it just all made sense. I read about the wolves in the sheep's clothing and I met them. And the thing about the wolves in the sheep's clothing, you don't recognise them. And I think sometimes they don't even know that they're wolves. My whole life changed. My husband is now saved and my daughters are now saved. Michelle saved, her husband saved, her two sons are saved. So that was in the June and we spent all summer at our caravan in Ballywalter and I spent the whole summer going to church down there and reading the Bible. And at the end of the summer I said to Robert, I need to know this Jesus more. I need to get to know him more. And it had just so happened that there was a Bible college about 5 minutes from my house, the Baptist Bible College. So I enrolled in a course called the Christian Education Course. And I remember sitting in the class and they were using words like, you know, how important it is to witness. And I had to ask the girl beside me, what's witness mean? And she had to explain to telling the people about Jesus. And I'm like, right, okay. Do you know, it was totally brand new for me. And this one module that we were doing whenever I started was called the cults. And there was a man in teaching us about the cults. And this one night it was about New Age. And he said, you know, does anybody have any experience of this? And people kind of, like, people in the class maybe laughed it off, thinking, you know, it's a load of rubbish. But it's not a load of rubbish. It's very, very dangerous. So I put my hand up and through a lot of tears, I was like, listen, it's very real. But the Lord Jesus Christ came and saved me from it all. And at the end of the class, a man, Robbie Boyce, him and his wife were at the course. And he came up and he said to me, would you share your testimony? And I said, what's testimony? And he said, it's whenever you tell people about how the Lord saved you. And I was like, no, I'll never, ever talk about this again. Because, like, what happened was so traumatic. You know, if you're just living your life and you have no clue that there is, that you have an enemy, you have no clue that there is a spiritual side, like, no clue at all. And all of a sudden, all this happens to you. Like, I used to pray that we'd all the memories of that would go away. Now I don't. But it was absolutely traumatic. Never, ever did I think I would ever speak about it again. But when you give your life to the Lord, he'll take it and he'll use it. So I said no. But the lady that was part of that prayer ministry, Ann Davidson, she could see that I didn't have any Christian friends or Christian family or no influence really, so she took me under her wing, and I would have met up with her once a fortnight, and she would have taught me how to pray. She would have showed me how to read the Bible and how to find God's promises in the Bible. And she used to say to me, you pray about everything. So a few months later, Robbie Boy said to me, would you share your testimony? And I said, well, I'll pray about it. So I prayed about it and I thought, right, because the Bible says you have to tell people. So I remember that night, Robert took the girls out and I sat in the end of my bed and I prayed and I said, Lord, I pray that your people know what a mighty, mighty God that you are. And away me and Michelle went. And there was another girl actually in the mother and toddler group who, whenever I got saved, Gillian, she said to me, how are you? And I said, I'm a Christian. She says, oh, isn't that nice? My sister's a wee Christian. And I thought, wee Christian? Does she know who lives inside her, wee sister? But so I went to Ardreth, me and Michelle, and I shared my testimony. And I said to Robbie, would you mind recording this? Because there's going to be things that I'll maybe say that I haven't even spoke to my husband about. And he was like, right, okay. So he recorded it, and then afterwards he said to me, would you mind if I put it on Facebook? And I said, no, work away, I don't really do social media. So he put it on Facebook, and the Lord took that prayer and answered. Our God answers prayer, and he answered my prayer, and he still is, of his people to know what a mighty God he is. And that testimony went viral, and thousands of people seen it. To the extent where my conversations changed, I would have took my wee Connie swimming on a Friday, and then we would have went to Vic Rinn for a wee coffee and a pancake after it. And the guy in the till that used to be, you know, have a nice weekend and all the rest, and it all changed to, I watched your testimony. It's like, praise the Lord. So conversations changed. The dry cleaners that I used to take Robert shirts to, we would have talked about the weather, and he was like, I seen your testimony. I was like, praise the Lord. So, like, everything changed. My conversations changed. Everything changed. So after that testimony, I started getting messages from pastors and pastors' wives. You know, what would I come and share at maybe their ladies' meeting or on Sunday evenings? And so I went out and I bought a diary, and I was like, Lord, if this is your will, then, you know, fill the diary up. And he did. And never ever did I think that I would be, you know, traveling around the country talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Never would I have thought that. Like, we are really private people. We really are, you know. But if that's God's will for my life, it's the very least that I can do for what he done for me. I could keep talking about what the Lord has done, but I'll tell you one thing that he has done for my children. So we got saved, and the school that my children went to, we chose an integrated school because we're from Belfast and grew up in the Troubles and, you know, very Protestant Catholic. And we thought we didn't want our children to be brought up like that. So they were put into a school, an integrated school, but we didn't realise that integrated is everything. So, which suited us fine at the time because, you know, there was yoga classes for mummies, there was yoga classes after school, there was mindfulness practiced in school during school time, which was fine for us then. But whenever you get born again and your eyes are opened, you know, I went into the school and I was like, what? Like, this is just so wrong. This is just not of God at all. So I started praying because I didn't want to take them out just on my decisions, because until then, all the decisions I'd made weren't good. So I started praying, and I prayed and prayed for about 18 months. And this one day, I got an email from the receptionist. She'd send a blanket email to all the parents saying, it's like a culture week coming up. Would any parents be willing to share about, you know, their culture? And I felt the Lord say to me, you can tell them, you can tell them all about me. So, no way. So I kind of ignored the email. And the email came again a few days later, you know, just a reminder, there's an assembly coming up and we're looking parents to come in and talk about, you know, culture and, you know, the difference of people. And I felt the Lord say, you could go and tell them about me. And I thought, right, okay. So I sent them an email and I said, listen, I am a born-again believer, and every single born-again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ has a story to tell of how they met him. If you want, I would be more than happy to come in and tell, you know, the children of how I met the Lord Jesus Christ. So I sent that email, and about an hour later, I got a message back saying, thanks, but no thanks. We're talking more like folklore, you know, like a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow kind of thing. Those kind of stories. And I thought, what's going on? I thought the Lord told me to do that. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, shake the dust. And I thought, shake the dust. So I looked and I read in Mark how if you go somewhere and you want to bring the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and they refuse, well then you can shake the dust of your feet and leave. And I phoned Robert and I was like, Robert, the Lord's answered our prayer. What can leave? What can leave the skin? So for about a couple of weeks I kept trying to get in contact with the school that was just around the corner from our house. I couldn't get to see the principal at all. They didn't have enough space for all of the children to move. And I just couldn't get past the receptionist, the secretary. And so I kept praying and kept praying. About a couple of weeks later, I prayed this day in between the 2 o'clock and the 3 o'clock pickup. Lord, I commit the rest of my day to you. I commit it to you. When I went to the post office in Dollingstown, standing in the queue, and I thought to myself, I wonder, is there any schools near here? And I googled primary schools, and a wee primary school came up, Marilyn. So I get into the car and I put in the sat nav and followed it, and I got to this school, Marilyn, and I went in and this lady said, can I help you? And I said, well, look, I'm just looking for a prospectus about school. And she says, are you new in the area? And I said, no, I need to change my children's school. And she says, right, follow me. So I followed her and she went into the principal's office and she sat down at the principal's desk. She says, take a seat. And I sat down and kind of looked around me. She says, how can I help you? And I said, listen, you're going to think I'm crazy. I have literally just prayed a prayer and I believe that the Lord has brought me here. She says, well, I am a believer and I am glad you're here. And I told her that I needed to change the children's school. Within less than a week, all my children were taken out of that school, and this new school was only a couple of miles up the road that I didn't even really know about. And my eldest daughter was P5 at the time. So we had a P5, a P4 and a P1. And Connie was in preschool. And Isla was a bit apprehensive. And the principal said to Isla, "Do you know anybody that goes to this school?" And Isla says, "I think I know a wee girl that's from a caravan site, but she's a year older than me." And the principal says, "Oh, well, you know, you'll maybe see her in the playground." Well, we started the school that following week. It was just before Easter. And Isla ended up being in a composite class, a P5 and a P6. So she was sitting beside her wee friend from the caravan site. And I thought, you know, God, you are an amazing God. When you read Exodus, he brought his people out. And that's just what I felt like. You know, he brought my children out of a dark place right into a school that has a Christian ethos. They pray. There is no holistic alternative theories at all, because it was constantly clashing up against them. What they were being taught at home and what they were being taught in school was very, very different. And I just thought that was absolutely amazing. So the Lord looks after our children. I'll finish with a psalm. And it's Psalm 40. And it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and has established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." I just pray if there's anybody here that hasn't trusted in the Lord, today is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ is alive and he is still in the business of saving lives. I didn't go to church. I had no Christian friends, and the Lord literally broke into my life and saved me and saved my family. And I thank you for asking me here to share tonight. So thank you. Amen.